All right. Thank you, Anna. I tell you what, the Bible says the wicked shall be cast into hell and all nations that forget God. We better remember. I think it was Ronald Reagan that said that we are one nation under God. And when we forget that, we'll be a nation going under. And that's a good statement. Romans chapter 8 this morning. Romans chapter 8. Talk to you a little bit on knowing his purpose. I really ought to say, because we know his purpose. You know, I think about all the blessings we take for granted in America, and we forget. As she was saying, and it's so easy to forget where they come from. Amen. Romans chapter 8, great chapter in the Word of God. I'll just preface it this way. I want you to notice in verse 1, Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now, I'm glad that's present right now, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I move on down to verse 28. Follow me now. Stay with me this morning. Verse 28, great verse in the Word of God. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Then I want you to move just a little bit further. Go down to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Let me get you to notice something. In verse 1, there is no condemnation. In verse 28, all things work together for good to them that love God. Not just anybody, but God's people. And then in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So you have to begin with no condemnation. You have here to end with no separation. No separation from God's love. It says in verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No condemnation, no separation from God. Amen. I know something this morning. We had a pretty busy week. Now here at church, we had a great Bible conference, and we praise the Lord for that. But the election time, and some of you are a little bit dismayed and a little bit down in the dumps. The truth is, some of you went to bed thinking it was over, and now we find out it's going to go on till Christmas or something similar to that. Amen. I don't want you to be discouraged, though. I know we got one county in Florida that's trying to take the trophy from Chicago. Chicago always voted the cemeteries. They always wound up going in the back room and finding another box or in the car trunk or in the closet. Somebody said, what is a provisional ballot? It's those that stuff back to provide it if you need it. It's crooked. A lot of it is. I hate to say it, but a lot of it is. I'd like to hope not, but I fear that that sort of stuff is. But I want to say something. In the midst of all that, and I want to say as God's people, listen, we want to contend for what's right. We hate the evil, but we love the good. But I want you to know, I just read you some verses that tell us how it turns out. We're going to win. We're going to win, brother. We're not losers. We're winners. let's don't get down in the dumps about a little negative thing here or there in the world, because the world is the enemy of God. The scripture says that. And I hope you understand that. But I'm glad I can look at these verses and tell you that I know some things. You know, truth is, the attitude today in the media and other places is that Christians are dumb. They don't know much. They're just a bunch of yokels out of the hills. We know more than they think they know. Amen. Than they think we do. Amen. I think about the two boys waiting on the bus, sitting on the bus bench. One of them was known to be really bright. The other one was kind of one of those that we've all known, didn't paddle with both oars. Elevator didn't go to the top, you know. A few fries short of a happy meal. You know what we all say about that, don't you? And both boys, one of them knew he was smart. The other one knew he wasn't so smart. And they're sitting there killing time. And finally, the smart kid said, you know, we're just wasting time. Let's play a little game. Said, Let's invent some riddles, and if you invent one that I can't answer, then I'll give you 50 cents. And if you get one that you give me 50 cents, the boy that's supposed to be dumb, he said, no, that wouldn't be fair. Everybody knows you're smarter than me. So he said, I tell you what, though, you give me 50 cents, I'll just give you 20 cents, 25 cents if you can't answer mine. And he said, oh, okay, we'll do it that way. So the dumb boy said, I'll go first. Said, what is it that's got six legs up in the air, two heads, and crawls on its back? Smart kid thought and thought and thought. And finally he said, well, I just don't know. Here's your 50 cents. Now, what is it? He said, well, I don't know either. Here's your quarter. No. Sometimes somebody's a little smarter than you think they are. And I think this country is finding out God's people might be just a little smarter. I want to go ahead and say this. Now, I like what the young men saying up here a while ago. There's some things worth fighting for, amen? Some things worth standing for. And I think there's a crowd out there that's underestimated America. I think there's more Americans back there than they thought that love their country and will stand up for their country. And I don't think we're going to lay down and go to sleep. I hope that we're not. Listen, we brought in a lot of folks. I'm going to be just real honest with you. I don't think even have a right to vote in America. And at the same time, we might be outnumbered, but they can go to the back closet and find another box of votes if they want to, but we're going to see some folks coming out of the hills and out of the byways and out of the hedges in America that's going to stand up more than they expected. Amen. We might be a little smarter than they think we are. Amen. I'll tell you the truth, I believe that's happened. You know, there may be more standing for right. You remember Elijah and the story of Elijah? He got out there on the juniper tree. He had a pity party. He said, I'm the only one left standing. And God roused him up and said, I've yet got 7,000 men that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. And I want to tell you something. When the confrontation took place between Elijah and Baalites and the evil crowd, I want to tell you, God showed up. And God showed up with the fire from heaven, and God can still show up. And there still be maybe more Americans and more of God's people out there than they're counting on. And I'm hoping that is the case and believing that you and I ought to have our part in it, because we know something. We know the purpose of God. I looked in verse 28 here, and it tells us that all things work together for good to them that love God and them that are called according to what? His purpose. He's got a purpose. Amen. He's got a purpose. And I believe God's purpose is going to be carried out. Amen. I'm thankful today that I know some things. I know some things. To begin with, I know I've got God's word. Amen. I want to tell you, it don't need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread. We need to believe it again. We don't need a new version, a new book. We just need a new look at the old book. And that would be the answer to it. We know we've got God's word. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I don't like this business of changing it. I believe it's from God. Somebody said that man couldn't have written it if he would, and wouldn't have written it if he could. And that's true, because it tells the truth on us. It tells the truth on us. It is God's word. It's inspired. It's alive. It's not dead. It's alive. And Bible says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Did you ever read the Bible and feel like you got cut? Amen. I have. Oh, yeah. It gets into the deep of the heart. It separates even to the marrow, as the Bible says. It's a two-edged sword. It's alive. It's real. It's God's word. Amen. You know, in the old days, nobody argued about that. Nowadays, it's mocked from the university right on down through the news media and everywhere else. But it's still real. I got a note on the side of my Bible here. Let me read it to you. This come out of Webster's 1828 dictionary, one I still use. It says this about the Word of God. It says, the infusion of ideas into the mind by the Holy Spirit, so no doubt of their supernatural origin. That's what it says about the Bible. Don't try your modern dictionary. But that's what people used to believe. It goes on in Webster there, and it lists 2 Timothy 3:16, which says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is a time America knew the Bible was the Word of God. And that's what we need to get back to. Isn't it kind of hypocritical now? They can't have it in the schoolhouse, but you go before the judge and you're going to have to swear in on it. Sort of hypocritical when they can't have it in the schoolhouse, but if you wait till the kid gets to prison, they'll give him one. A little hypocritical there, huh? And the truth of the matter is, he might not have to go to prison if he believed the Word of God and was raised by it to start with, amen? I'm thankful I know some things. I'm glad I know that I have God's Word. And because I know I have His Word, I got some better news. I know I'm saved. So what does saved mean? It means I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven. Amen. You can't get no more saved than that. Amen. We understand what it means, don't we? The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you, these things have I written unto you, that you may what? Know that you have eternal life. These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal. I'm glad it's a no-so salvation, brother. It's not a hope-so. It's not maybe-so. It's not depending to find out which way I'm going to go when I get there. I already know before I get there, I have the assurance of God's Word on it, that I'm already saved. Say, how you know you're saved, preacher? Well, I got all kind of indications. I've got all kind of things that are different in my life from the time that I came to Christ and became a new creature in Him. Old things began to pass away, and other things became new. Before I got saved, you wouldn't catch me in church much. I wouldn't have seen any need to be there. But now, if I miss church, I miss it. I want to be in God's house. I want to be with God's people. When I first started to go into church, I didn't understand that. But I heard the gospel and got saved, and it made a difference in my outlook. I didn't like the preacher first time I come to church. And that's terrible. You all should all like the preacher. But I didn't. And I didn't like the song leader. Brother Bird, I said, look at that man up there waving his arm, just showing off in front of the ladies. That's what I said. And I didn't like the choir. I thought that lady in the back row that was so heavy was going to bust the bench. I made all kind of criticisms in my mind because I didn't like it. But then I got saved, and that preacher and that song leader become the best friends. And all of a sudden, I had a whole different outlook. They didn't change. I changed because something changed me from the inside out, brother. And that's very, very real. I can know I'm saved because I keep His commandments, not the Ten Commandments, but His commandments that says assemble yourself together in the house of God. I like that now. You wouldn't believe it, but I even learned to love tithing. Don't walk out on me. Some of you need to learn that. Amen. The truth is, there's a joy in giving the Bible talks about. You know what I'm talking about? This church knows. Through the years, we've done so much. And somebody says, how'd those people do that? They did it because they wanted to. That's why they did it. Because they got a joy out of doing it. There's a big difference in doing something out of duty and pressure and doing it because you want to. Amen. I think about the woman that just griped so much. She got married. She had to cook. She had to clean clothes. She had to take care of the house. She had to get the man's lunch ready before daylight for him to go to work, and she hated every bit of it. And some years passed, and he died. I don't know if she starved him to death or what, but he died. And she got married again. And all of a sudden, it dawned on her. She said, you know what? I'm getting up just as early. I'm packing just as many lunches. I'm cleaning the house. I'm taking care of the clothes. I'm taking care of everything I did. But now, I like it. The difference was she didn't love the first one. She loved the second one. I'm sorry, man. I'm just telling you how it is sometimes. And the truth is, when you love God, you do things a lot easier. You do them with a joy. You're doing them because you want to. You're not doing them because you have to. Amen. There's a difference. Thank God I know I'm saved. I tell you how I know I'm saved. Because the Spirit wrote it inside. Oh, yes. The Bible says his spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When you hear some singing like we heard this morning and inside says, amen, I like that. That fits me. That's good. That's the Spirit of God witnessing for the Lord. When you hear the scripture and read the scripture, when you have a verse like this, that all things work together for good to them that love God and them that are called according to his purpose. Yes, amen, inside. That's real. That's very real. And if you're not saved, you don't know a thing about what I'm talking about this morning when I talk about the witness of the Spirit of God on the inside. When you're born again by the Spirit of God, because you know that Jesus paid the price for your sins, that your name is written in heaven, brother, it makes a difference on the inside and a difference you can know about. Amen. I'm not spooky about the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes folks get really nuts about it and turn off some other folks. But the truth is, there's a quiet witness, a still, small voice of God that makes you know on the inside. You know. I think about years ago, this same pulpit, when I first came here preaching in the little building over there, had a radio program in the morning, and 15 minutes, now we have the radio station, isn't God good? But we had a little 15-minute program in the morning, and I'd come in here, and I had it wired to the little old station out there, and there was a guy that would come on ahead of me. Now, he was a pretty good brother in a way, but he was sure fouled up on some truth in the Bible. And he'd end his program every morning. He'd end his 15 minutes saying, now, we're going to have a contact between us. We're going to have a contact with the Spirit, and I want you to put your hand on the radio to feel the Spirit. That's what he'd say every Sunday morning. I got tired of it. I was probably in the flesh one Sunday morning. Maybe didn't get enough sleep that night or whatever. I don't know. Something was wrong. I thought, I'm tired of that. That's not true. That's not Bible. You don't make contact with the Holy Spirit with your hand on radio. So he said, now there, you'll feel it. You'll feel the Spirit. Put your hand on the radio. So I come behind him and I said, folks, if you want to really feel something, don't put your hand on the radio. Put it in the radio. And that was mean. But he didn't say it no more. The truth is, don't be silly about it, but when you're born again, you're born again by the Spirit of God. And brother, if that's happened to you, there's a witness on the inside that you know, and you don't have to pump it up and pretend. Amen. It's very real. Amen. Thank God you can know that you're saved, and you ought to be happy about it. I see some people that claim they're Christians, and they look like they just got weaned on dill pickles. I mean, man. How you going to get somebody else to want it if it makes you look so sour? Amen? We ought to be a little bit happy about the fact that we're saved and on the way to heaven instead of hell. Amen? Now, it's okay to praise the Lord in the right way. When it's genuine, I don't mind it. When it's fake, I don't like it. And there is an obvious difference. Amen? I think about old Billy Bray, that was his name, Billy Bray. He was an old Scottish miner. He got saved out in the pea patch, and he never got over being saved. Part of our trouble is we've gotten over it. Amen. We forgot that we're on the way to hell. Amen. He never forgot that. He praised the Lord. Old Billy said, when my left foot goes down, it hollers hallelujah. When my right foot takes a step, it says praise the Lord. And he was just all the time praising God. Somebody said, Billy, we're going to put you in a barrel and put the lid on it, shut you up. He said, I'll holler praise God out of the bong hole. The truth is, you couldn't shut old Billy up. When he was on his deathbed, the doctor was in, and the family had gathered in, and Billy saw him whispering. He knew that what it meant. And he said to the doc, he said, Doc, am I gonna die? He said, well, Billy, he said, no, tell me the truth. He said, yeah, Billy, you are. He said, well, Doc, don't whisper about it. Praise God. That's what I planned on doing, going to heaven. Amen. Now, we ought to have a little bit of Billy Bray's attitude. Somebody else might want what we have if it looked a little better as we wear it. Amen. Might be much better. The truth is, I know some things. I know God's got a purpose. I know I have his word. I know I'm saved. And I know he answers prayer. Say, all your prayers? No, some of them I'm glad he didn't answer. Amen. All right, I won't meddle with that too much, but I think about the girl I wanted to date in school, and then I saw her 40 years later. I'm glad he didn't answer that prayer. I'm playing around some with you now, but he's answered lots of prayers, and he's been discerning enough to not answer some of my foolish stuff. Amen. And yours too. I'm glad I know he's got a purpose. I'm glad I know some things. I know he answers prayer. I could tell you stories and you wouldn't stay here long enough for them. There's a blue book back there. Got a blue cover on it. Got a lot of answered prayers in it. You ought to get it and read it. I mean, I believe you ought to pray. Somebody said God is good enough for a kid taking a test to pray that the pencil point don't break. He's also big enough to take care of the biggest prayer and the biggest need the world's ever seen. That's our God. He's able. He's able. He's able to answer prayer. I think of so many times and so many different ways that he's answered so many prayers. My brother's on at home. He can't come to church anymore. His health is so bad he can hardly get out of bed and hurting all the time. And most of you know Harvey. And I thank God that you're praying for him. I remember in the early years when he got, I'd been saved a little while. He hadn't gotten saved. I was 22 when I got saved. And he was about 3 years younger. Got in a wreck, and the doctor said he wasn't going to live. We chased the ambulance to the hospital in Orlando. And when I saw him rolling out of the ambulance, it didn't even look like my brother. His head was swelled so big and blood everywhere, and it was just a horrible thing. We were close as brothers, and I knew he wasn't saved, and I was scared to death. I'd gotten saved, but I didn't know much. But I'd gotten saved, and I'd heard the preacher say that God could answer prayer, and I believed that he could. And I went in the room with my brother that night, and the doctor said there's no hope. They tied his hands to the bed, and they left. My dad went back to get mother, and I stayed in the room. And it was by that time about probably 2 a.m., somewhere in that neighborhood. And I didn't sit down. I walked across the floor. He was in the bed mumbling in pain, in a coma. And doctor said no hope. He's got a concussion. He's broke up. He done all this, and no hope. And I kept walking and praying and asking God from one window to the other. And I'd hear him moan on the bed, and I'd go by the bed. And I'd, best I knew how, as a young convert, I just kept asking God to raise him up and give him a chance to hear the gospel and be saved. That's what I kept praying. And finally, right at the crack of dawn, I was looking out of the Orlando Regional Window Hospital toward the east. And just as I was doing that, the sun was just cracking up a little bit. And I was praying, and I didn't hear an audible voice, but I sure did hear a loud message. And the message came into my heart and said, I'm going to give him one more chance. I'm going to give him one more chance. And about that time, I heard noise at the door. I went to the door. Daddy was back with mother, and the doctor was at the door. And the doctor again repeated what he'd said to Dad and I, to mother. And my cousin was there, grown cousin, and cousin by marriage. And heard the doctor say, no hope, concussion, it's too bad, no hope. And when he said that, mother just kind of crumpled down, and daddy was holding her up. And I'm opening the door, I see the doctor, I see my cousin-in-law, I saw mom and dad. And as the doctor said that, young convert that I was, probably out of place, I said, no, doctor, he's going to live. God just told me so. I scared that doctor to death, man. He knew he had a religious fanatic. He went running down that hall, brother, leaving. He got out of there, and my cousin-in-law rebuked me in front of mom and dad, said, Mickey, you ought not say that. Your mom was always hurting so bad. You ought not say something like, you heard what the doctor said. And Virgil was his name. I said, Virgil, I don't care. God just told me he's going to live. He did. And I saw him walk the aisle and accept Jesus Christ. He was a deacon in this church for years. Listen, I want to tell you something. I know God answers prayer, and I can tell you more stories than that over and over through my ministry. I've seen God answer prayer. I've seen some folks get off the sick bed that supposed to die. I've prayed for some I thought might live, and they did die. Only God's will must be done. And we can't control that. But I'm glad I know he answers prayer. I know that he can. That's why we got this prayer list with all these people up. If we didn't believe it, we wouldn't do it. And I got witnesses all over this building and all over Radio Land about people that God answered prayer for. No doubt about it. I'm glad. I know he has a purpose. I know his purpose will be done. I don't care what the politics says. I don't care what the leadership of this country says. God is going to yet have his purpose, and he's not going to be defeated. Oh, amen. I know he's coming again, don't you? He's coming again. Well, he said he was. He said, if I go away, I will come again, John 14. Did he go away? He went away. Is he coming again? He's coming again. Guarantee you that he is, and I think soon. I'm amazed today as I see some of the secular world. I saw in the some news this week, not on TV, somewhere, I believe it was a magazine, talking about how that everything is congealing together for a great big crisis. And I thought, you don't know what the crisis is. Jesus is coming. All you're talking about, all the things you're saying are coming together, is predicted in the Word of God that they would happen, that the way they're happening, and they're happening now, and Jesus is coming soon. No doubt about it, he's coming again. The whole world should know that. The pagans seem to be even witnessing. I think it's the Hopi Indians out west. They've said now for a long time, for several years, that Jesus was coming. They didn't say Jesus. They said the breath giver is coming. Well, God is the breath giver. You read the book of Genesis. And they said that he is coming, and that when he comes, the whole world will be covered by a web. Did you ever hear of the World Wide Web? Some of you'd be lost if you couldn't get on the web, if you couldn't get online. Amen? I think that might be the web they're talking about, because the whole world is covered by it now. I mean, Jesus is coming. Even the pagans know that. The earthquakes are kind of just moved to the back, so much bad news. But Jesus said they'd be increasing. Check it out how they've increased. Boy, have they ever increased. A lot of things are happening, but I want him to come. I want everybody to get saved that can get saved before he comes, but I keep warning people, one day it'll be too late. You don't have any guarantee of tomorrow. The Lord didn't tell us when he would come, so we'd be ready when he would come. You got a warning to be ready. Let me ask you today, when you hear some preacher say what I'm saying now, that Jesus is coming, the signs have been fulfilled, long time been fulfilled, everything is ready, we're not looking for signs, we're listening for the sound, he's coming. When you hear that, how do you feel and hear about it? Does it scare you? Or do you say, praise God, come on? There's a whole big difference in attitude there, isn't there? You know him as Savior, you're not fearful that he's coming. It's called the blessed hope in the Bible. Blessed hope. If you're unsaved, there's something inside says, not yet, please. How long you been saying you were going to get saved, but you haven't? How long you been fearing that Jesus was going to catch you, or death was going to catch you first? You say, how do I get over that? You get over it by getting the fear replaced with joy and trust and understanding and assurance that if he comes today, it's all right. It's all right. You know, I realize this because I've got more birthdays than most of you out there. I realize that death is coming on down my street. Sure, I'm praying the Lord comes first. It's not the other side of death I fear. It's going through the pain of dying. I don't want that. None of us do. But it's really not the big monster it used to be. You see, I've seen too many of God's saints slip out in joy and in victory. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had the privilege as a preacher to be at a lot of deathbeds. There is a difference in the way God's people die and others die. Amen. Big difference. Big difference. I've seen the old grandma after they declared her dead. I mean, the crowd says she's dead. She's not breathing. There is no pulse. She's dead. And after I saw that, she sat up in the bed. She opened her eyes. She talked to the angels, and she hugged her husband that had gone on a long time. You say, what do you mean? I'm saying it's real. From that time on that I saw that, death has never been quite the booger man it used to be. Not quite the bad thing that we used to fear. Because I saw Granny slip out into the arms of the Lord. A welcoming party came for her. She heard the music. She saw the angels. She saw her loved ones. Hey, you can't beat that. Old preacher said, somebody told him, you're going to die. He said, that's okay. You don't scare me with heaven. You don't scare me with heaven. It's okay. That's what you have in the Lord Jesus. I'm talking to some of you today. You got a little tinge of fear. You say, well, I'm not sure I've been good enough. I want to give you some news. You haven't been good enough. You can't be good enough. But Jesus was good enough for you. And when he went to the cross, he took all your bad, all your sins, every evil thought, every wrong word you ever said, every bad deed you ever committed on him and paid the price that you could go to heaven free, that you could have it as a gift because he bought it, because he paid for it. Oh, you'll never get good enough. But if you'll see yourself as bad enough to need a Savior, and come and confess Christ and trust what he did for you when he died for your sins on the cross, the Bible says that we can know we're saved. Oh yeah, God's got a purpose. Romans 8:28 is still true for the believer. Yes, we can know that. I can't know about how the election's going to turn out. I can't know what tomorrow brings in the world, but I can know what God's purpose is, what God's plan is. And his purpose is to save everyone that believes on his son that paid the price for him on the cross of Calvary. Have you done that? Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Not because you deserve it, you don't. Not because you're good, you're not. But because Jesus paid the price for you. I invite you to come down the aisle. I'll come down to the front. You come right here. You can confess Jesus Christ and receive the gift of eternal life and know that you're saved forever. That's what you can have when you trust Christ as Savior. Are you willing to do that? Have you done it? If you haven't, have you been saying you would, but you haven't? Today could be that day. Bible says God doesn't give you a promise of tomorrow. The Bible says today, now, is the day of salvation. Right now, that's God's plan. You didn't come here by accident this morning. You didn't come and hear what you just heard by accident. God knows you came. He made arrangements for you to come, knowing what you would hear. And if you'll say yes to him, confess him as Savior, he'll confess you and your name be written in heaven. Wouldn't you like that? Isn't that the smart thing to do? Especially in these times that are so tremendously bad today. What is God saying to you right now? Would you come and receive him as Savior? I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. While our heads are bowed, how many of you can lift the hand and you say by that lifted hand, preacher, I thank God that I'm saved. I remember when I received Christ. He's my Savior. Heaven's my home because of him. Can you lift that hand tall and up this morning? Do you remember there's a time when you couldn't lift it, but aren't you thankful you can lift it now? Thank you. You may put them down. Are you here today and you say, preacher, I've been planning on getting saved, but I haven't. I know there's no promise of tomorrow, but I've been putting it off. And preacher, have me in mind when you pray I need to be saved. Now, I'll not come to you. I won't call your name. I won't embarrass you. But I'll have you in mind as I pray. Would you slip that hand up right now? Just up and down. I care for my soul. I'd like to, for you to think about me in prayer that I'd be saved before it's too late. Would you slip that hand up? Would you do it? Yes, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Let's stand quietly. Father, we commit to you in prayer these hands we've seen. Lord, you look on the hearts. You know everybody. And Father, I pray for everyone that knows not Christ today, what a tremendous gamble they're taking with their very precious soul. Father, how the word tells them to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things will be added. Father, they've concentrating on things and they're going to lose the most important thing they have, and that's their soul, unless they know Jesus. I pray you'd bless the invitation. Father, there may be some that need to join a church, a comfort rededication, or whatever you've spoken to them about. But, oh, Lord, we pray for that one that's never received Christ. They have no assurance of heaven today in their heart. I pray you'd bless the invitation that they might come and be saved today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'll step to the front. Whatever God asks you to do, you do it as we sing.
Just as